We're turning in the Word of God to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, please. So 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and we'll read from verse 7. So 1 Chronicles chapter 16, commencing in verse 7, we'll read through to the 36th verse. So let's hear the Word of our God. Then on that day, David delivered first a psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, and talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, and let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, The Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. And say ye, Save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks unto thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. We'll end our reading there at verse 36, and we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let's just have prayer once again and pray the Lord will come near and help us even as we preach. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank thee for the words of that hymn. Lord, by Annie Hawk, we, Lord, confess that we need thee every hour. Most gracious Lord, this is a time of need, the preaching, the hearing of the word. Lord, so often we could come and it'd be just a form, something that's done, a duty. Lord, we just pray that thou would elevate it from that. And Lord, that thou would come and speak to thy dear people. Lord, there's those who've come and they need a word in season. And we pray, O God, that this will be such tonight, Lord, as you've directed. We pray, O Father, that thou will give help to this preacher. I pray, O God, that thou will grant unto me thy power and thy grace. I pray, O God, for the cleansing of the precious blood again. And I pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And by faith I take the promised Holy Ghost. And I pray, O God, that you will take, Lord, what has been prepared and given. We pray, O God, that thou will take this vessel and that thou would speak through me to thy dear children. That thou would encourage hearts, O God. That thou will instruct us all in the way that we are to go. That thou would build us up in our holy faith. We thank you for this tremendous song of thanksgiving, the Psalm of David. And we pray, O God, our hearts will rejoice in Thee, and we truly would rise up to bless our God and declare His salvation from day to day. O God, pray that Thou will work in our hearts and visit us, O God, now we cry to Thee. For this I ask in the Savior's precious and His lovely name. Amen. Now my thoughts for this evening have been directed to the words that we find in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Now I've been doing a little bit of reading on the congregational responses to public prayer and praises. And this is one of the portions in which there is a congregational response. And we read that there at the end of the reading tonight, verse 36. We read the words there, and all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. But verse 11 came across my path a number of other times, yesterday and today, and from a number of other sources. And so I believe the Lord would have us to consider these words tonight that we have here in verse 11. Now, we have the historical setting of these words for the special psalm in verse 7. It tells us there, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Of course, Asaph was set up. He was the head of the music in the temple, or not at that time. The temple wasn't built, but really in Jerusalem. He was the head of the choir and the musical worship of the Lord. And so David delivered this psalm, this song, into his hand. But this leads us to ask the question, well, what day is being spoken of here? Well, the last few verses of chapter 15 and the first six verses of chapter 16, well, they reveal to us the events of this day that is in view. It was the day that David, he brought the Ark of the Covenant up out of the house of Obed-Edom, and he brought it to Jerusalem. Look at verse 1. So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And really that was the culmination of a long and an arduous journey. If you know your history concerning this, that the ark was missing for a while in the house of Obed-Edom. The Philistines had taken it, and then it was turned aside into the household of Obed-Edom, and David tried to bring it back, remember? He tried to put the ark upon a cart, and that was not God's directed way. And eventually, here, the Ark of the Covenant, it returns. The sacred symbol of God's presence was finally coming home to Jerusalem. It was coming home to rest in the place, in the city where God had appointed His name to be worshipped and honored. Now the air was thick with anticipation and joy. Well, it permeated every corner of that city. And this is more than really just a historical event. We could say that it was really a divine reunion between God and His people Israel. You see, the Ark, as you well know, was a place that God had promised to meet with His people. It was a place where the presence of God rested. He had said to them in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 22, There I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat and from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. And amidst this jubilant celebration, King David, the shepherd turned monarch, well, he offered this song of thanksgiving. Now you imagine being there amidst all the throngs of worshipers. There's a joyous sound of singing, and there's a music that filled the air. There's this palpable sense that God had come again amongst His people. And David, well, he stands up before the crowd and all the noise, all the commotion, and his heart is bursting with praise unto God. And so he writes a song for the occasion, and he puts it into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Now, we have one of the principal reasons why David, why he wanted the ark in Jerusalem. And we find that back in chapter 13 and verse 3. David said there, he was intention, let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And David, he wanted to inquire of the Lord. He wanted to know the mind, the will of God. He didn't want to, as it were, rule his kingdom without the help, the direction, the guidance, the counsel, the wisdom of his God. Now, if you turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 10, 1 Chronicles chapter 10, we read this really concerning Saul. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, and the verses 13 and 14 at the end of that chapter, it says, "So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit, to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David the son of Jesse." And so there was Saul's sin. He did not inquire of the Lord. He did not seek counsel from the Lord. He sought it from one which had a familiar spirit. He disobeyed the word of God. And you know all that he did concerning that. He didn't slay that wicked king. And so, well, God took the kingdom from it and gave it unto David. And David, well, he was the man after God's own heart. He was one, as I said, he wanted to know the mind and the will of God. We have his own testimony in Psalm 27 and the verse 8. It says there, he says, "When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." And so David, he wanted to inquire of the Lord. And that's why he was delighted that the presence of the Lord was back in Jerusalem. It had come to dwell amongst God's people once again. And verse 11, well, it's an exhortation for God's people to do what David himself wanted to do, to seek the face of God. And this verse is nestled in this hymn of praise and in the middle of this prayer. Now, I want to look at it tonight, this verse. Verse 11, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually," under the heading, "Seeking strength." Seeking strength. And we're going to do that by considering three questions. Simple question, simple message. First question, what are we to do? What are we to do? What is set before us in this verse? Well, David encourages the people to seek the Lord. It's quite simple. Seek the Lord. That's what the king, that's what the ruler wanted his people to do. He desired that they would seek the Lord. Now, this was a common expression that was used in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word that is translated for us, seek, well, it means to inquire, to consult, and to ask. One of the most frequently used expressions of this word is really to inquire of the Lord. And this is, of course, it sometimes indicates a private seeking of God in prayer. That was the case of Rebekah. And the two young babies were struggling in her womb, and she was wondering what was going on. And we read there in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 22 that she went to inquire of the Lord. She went to seek the Lord, what this was all about. So definitely the thoughts of these words, to seek the Lord, it includes the thought of prayer. But it also did refer to, and it also had respect to, the contacting of a prophet who would be the instrument of God's revelation. And that was a practice that was often adopted in Israel. Seeking the Lord meant going to a prophet of God to find out the mind of God and the will of God, the revelation of God. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and the verse 9 these words, "Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God," or seek the Lord, "thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer, for he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer." And so when men sought the Lord, it wasn't only in private prayer, but it was also through the prophets. At other times, this expression of seeking the Lord, it's found in connection with the use of the Urim and the Thummim, those special stones that the high priest consulted when they wanted to know the mind and the will of God. And we have reference to that in Numbers 27 and the verse 21. It also has the thought of seeking the Lord, inquiring of the law of God. So all these things are included. The thought of private prayer, praying unto the Lord, seeking the Lord, going to a prophet to know the will of God, the mind of God in those days, the Urim and the Thummim, or also going to the Word of God. And though this was a high day in the experience of the children of Israel, with the return of the Ark of the Covenant, they were not to forget, they were not to neglect the privileges that they had, or the duties and responsibilities that lay upon them. They were to give and to maintain their attendance to the means of grace. Just because God was back in the midst of them didn't mean that they could, as it were, just rest in their laurels. and not seek and not inquire and not consult at God's face, at God's hand. You see, David had seen, and a nation had seen, in the life of Saul what a refusal to seek the Lord would lead to. And David was mindful of that. And that's why he commanded here, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that God's people would seek the Lord. Now, this is obviously a command, seek the Lord. But it is a command with an implied enticement, we might say, because God is to be found. And this is the wonderful thing. God does make himself known. He is the self-revealing God. He does show men and women, he does show them his will and his way. And he gave promises concerning this in his word. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and the verse 29, we read these words, spoken unto the people, But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, consult, inquire after him, pray to him, seek out the prophet, consult the law of God. If you would do that from hence, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. God is there to be found. His will and his way is there for us to be known. He reemphasized this through the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah's prophecy, and you know those words, Jeremiah 29, verses 12 to 14, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto thee, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search with me with all your heart. I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And so this was not a vain thing these people were commanded to do. Tonight we've come to pray. We can use that expression. We've come to seek the Lord. But this is not a vain thing, because God has promised that he will be found of us. His presence will be here. You know, to seek, it implies effort. It implies diligence on the part of the people. Well, you know what that's like. If you're playing a game of hide and seek, well, if you did nothing, if you just sat on the couch, well, the high possibility and probability is you're not going to find those who ran away and hid. And you know, the counsel, the wisdom, and the grace, the guidance that you and I need, well, it's not going to simply fall into our lap. We're not just going to stumble upon it. No, we must seek after it through the means that God has appointed for us. And in our days, it's not seers and stones, but it's by supplication and the Scriptures. There has to be a diligence on our behalf. There has to be effort on our part. We are to seek the Lord. We're not just going, as it were, it's not just going to fall into our lap. The guidance, the graces, the wisdom, whatever it is we might need, we are to seek the Lord. Now, what a God it is to whom we seek. And if we look at the surrounding verses around in this psalm of thanksgiving, we find out so much more about him. That he's the covenant-keeping God. That he is the God who protected and provided for his people. You look there at verse number 22 when he says, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. That's the God whom we seek. A God who protects his people. He's the covenant-keeping God. He's the protecting God. He's the God of creation. He's the sovereign God. He's the one who is good and his mercy endureth forever. You take the time to read the corresponding psalm, Psalm 105. It's what we have here. A little bit of change, a little bit of expansion. But you'll see there how much God did for his people. And he is one. He is one who is worthy to be sought after because he's faithful to his covenant people. He still is because he changes not. But David goes on to double down on what the people were to do by saying in this verse, not only seek the Lord, but he goes on to say, seek his face. Now, since God is a spirit, and since God does not have a face, we can't see his face. Well, how do we seek God's face? Well, again, this is another common expression that's used in the Old Testament scripture. The Hebrew word for face, it's often translated presence. And that's what we're doing when we're seeking the face of God, where we're coming into His presence. We're desiring His presence. Now, a person's face, it reveals much about his or her character and their personality. We see the inward emotions of an individual well expressed on their face. If someone is sad, if someone is despondent, we see the furrows upon their brow or the dimness in their eyes. And we recognize a person by what? By their face, by looking at their face. And in a sense, one's face, it represents the whole person. And that's how the writers of the scripture, well, they viewed and used this term face. It represents the entire person. So again, as I said, David's just doubling down on what the people were to do, what you and I are to do. We're to seek the Lord. We're to seek His face. We're to come into His presence. We're to desire His presence. And yet I believe there's more to this expression than just that when it says about seeking His face. For the face, as you well know, if it was turned away in Scripture and the back was towards the individual, that was a sign of what? It was a sign of displeasure. Displeasure. And to seek God's face, to be before the face of God, to be in His presence, what does that mean? It therefore implies that His displeasure has been turned away. That the individual is in good standing before God. And how can that be? Since God is holy and we are sinful. Well, it can only be through a mediator. And by the sacrifice of Christ's precious blood that puts away our sin. And that's how you and I can seek God's face, can come before the face of God, can stand in the presence of God in and through Christ Jesus, being united to Him. He's the one who stands before the Father. And we in Christ can come before the face of God. What a privilege we have to seek the Lord. To seek His face. To in Christ be standing face to face with God, as it were, in the place of prayer. Asking Him that He would lift up the light of His countenance upon us. There's to do with the face again. That His favor would be upon us and towards us. That He would be merciful and gracious as He looks upon the face of His anointed. And so we have here what we are to do. Seek the Lord and seek His face. But secondly this evening, why? Why are we to do this? Why are we to seek the Lord and why are we to seek His face? Well, it's a command to be obeyed and surely that should be enough. And that's one reason. But another reason, I believe, is given by David in the words, and His strength. Seek the Lord and His strength. You see, all the graces that we need come from the Lord through Christ to us. And that's what we thought about on the Lord's Day. He is a distributor and He deposits into our souls the graces, the things that we need. And here is one grace that's focused upon strength. And I suspect that David focuses upon this grace, this strength, because he knew that a nation's strength depended on the presence of the Lord, of which the Ark of the Covenant was a token. You see, the people's confidence was not to be put in princes. It wasn't to be put in horses or in chariots, but it was to be placed in the Lord. In Psalm 78, in the verse 61, speaking of the capture of the Ark, the psalmist, he speaks of how the Lord delivered His strength into captivity. That's how the ark is referred to, His strength. In Psalm 132, in the verse 8, it's called, the Lord refers to it as the ark of my strength. Why is that? Well, it's the presence of the Lord that gives power unto His people. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. and he will see. And so David knew that the strength of the nation depended not on the chariots, not on the soldiers, not on all the armory or all the weaponry, but the strength of the nation depended upon the presence of the Lord God. And that's why he urged the people when the ark returned to Jerusalem, and he called upon them to seek the Lord and his strength. He wasn't setting himself up before the people as a defender and the protector of the nation, but he was pointing them to the Lord. We need the presence of the Lord in all our meetings and all our gatherings to give us power, to give us spiritual strength. And we must seek the Lord for that. But you know, this concept of seeking the Lord's strength that can be applied in our daily lives, not just in the church life and in the meetings of our congregation, but in our daily lives. You see, we do grow weary under the burdens. The burdens that we are called to carry. And the trials that you and I, we have to face. And we are ever in need of the Lord's strength. Well, I know I am, at least. I don't know if you feel that way. But ever in need of the Lord's strength. And you know, to seek the Lord and his strength, well, it's really a humble acknowledgement of our own weakness and our own limitations. And we all do have a limit, brethren and sisters. I'm sure you know that. You've found that. You've been maybe at times taken to your very limit. You have a limit. Our spiritual strength, it's often diminished. It's depleted. And at times it's exhausted. And we reach the end of our hoarded resources. And maybe that's how you feel this evening. Your strength's gone. And you're wondering, how on earth am I going to pick up the cross? How am I picking up my daily cross tomorrow? How am I facing that and bearing that? And your spiritual strength is shot. Well, dear friend, this is why. This is why we're to seek the Lord. We are told in that memorable portion, in Isaiah 40, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary. And you know, that is in stark contrast to you and me. There's one who fainteth not, and he never is weary. What are we told in verse 30, Isaiah 40? Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And what are we showing in that verse? We're showing there that even those who we might expect to have the greatest natural disposition to power and strength, young men, and that's not being misogynistic. That's the reality. That's the grouping that we might think are naturally disposed to having strength and power, young men, in the vitality and vigor of their life. But the Lord says there that even the young men and the youths shall faint and be weary, and they shall fall. And if that's the case with them, the ones we might expect to be naturally disposed to being strong and courageous even in the Lord, it happens the best, the greatest of saints. It happens to us all. We're all going to be in those times of great weakness when our strength is totally gone. And this is why we are to seek the Lord. But you know that verse 30 in Isaiah 40, even the youth shall faint and be weary and the young man shall utterly fall. It's bookended with two wonderful verses. It sits there in the middle. But the verse before it is this verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. There's a sovereignty to dispose, to dispense, to deposit within us the strength that we need. But then it's bookend on the other end, we might say, with our responsibility as how we are to obtain the strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And waiting upon the Lord, it's synonymous for seeking the Lord. Same term, same things. And that's how, and that's why we need to seek the Lord and seek His face. Power belongeth unto the Lord. That's what we read. And since that is the case, it is His to distribute to His people. And He'll be in no way diminished or weakened when He will do that. How does He do it? Well, it's by the operation of the Spirit. Is not that what we're told in Ephesians chapter 3? That was Paul's prayer for those at Ephesus, that they would be strengthened by might, by His Spirit in the inner man, through Christ Jesus. That comes about in answer to prayer and in response of feeding upon the Word. That's how we're strengthened. The operation of the Spirit. You see, it's when we're weak. It's when we're weak, we only realize then really how strong our God is. And how much grace of strength He has to pour into our souls to enable us to do what we have to do and face what we have to face and carry the cross that we have to carry. It's only when we're weak. We sang on Sunday that wonderful, wonderful hymn, and you were really singing powerful on Sunday morning, of Wilbur Chapman. Jesus, what a friend of sinners. Verse 2, what a verse. Jesus, what a strength and weakness. Let me hide myself in Him, tempted, tried, and sometimes failing. He my strength and victory wins. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end. You know, Wilbur Chapman, he wrote that hymn out of experience. Out of his weakness. See, by the time he was 51, and when he wrote this hymn in 1910, he had already lost two wives and one infant son. And that's why he could write about his beloved friend, who gave him strength and weakness, who poured that grace of strength into his soul that enabled that man to carry on his ministry, to be used mightily and powerfully by God in the region of Philadelphia, bringing estimated maybe 8,000 souls to the Lord. Because God poured strength into his soul. We have a great God to lean upon, to draw strength from. Charles Spurgeon, he said of the parallel verse in Psalm 105, verse 4, this is what he said, put yourselves under His protection. Regard Him not as a puny God, but look to His omnipotence and seek to know the power of His grace. We all need strength. Let us look to the strong one for it. We need infinite power to bear us safely to our eternal resting place. Let us look to the Almighty Jehovah for it. David firsthand, he knew what it meant to depend upon God's strength. From his confrontation with Goliath the giant, to his reign as king amidst all the numerous challenges that he had to face, but he was able to say, to face them all, I will go in the strength of the Lord. And in Psalm 29, verse 11, he was able to write with assurance, and having proved the Lord, he was able to write this, the Lord will give strength unto His people. He will bless His people with peace. Whether you're facing a major life decision, a health crisis, or maybe you're simply struggling with the stress of daily life, the Lord is strength for your soul. And we're to seek it from Him. Strength is here highlighted by David, as I said, but we could substitute strength for whatever grace it is we need. Seek the Lord and His peace. Maybe you have an agitated soul tonight. Doesn't that happen when burdens come? There's something there. What we need is peace. We'll seek the Lord and His peace. Or we could say, seek the Lord and His wisdom. Or we could say, seek the Lord and His patience. Do we need that? What a reserve, what a resource He has. This is why we are to seek the Lord, because He cares for us. He loves us. And He has for us what we need. Dear child, you need strength. Seek His strength. So we have what we are to do and why we are to do. Finally this evening, another simple question. When? When are we to do it? Well, the answer is given at the end of the verse. Verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face. Here's the answer. When? Continually. Psalm 105, verse 4. The word that's used there is evermore. In other words, at all times, unto the end of our days, we're to be always looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith. This seeking must never cease for a moment. Because there's never a day we can do without Him. Without Him, we can do nothing, is what He said. And if we stop seeking His Lord, if we stop seeking His face through prayer and the Scripture, well, it's a sign that what? We have become self-reliant. And when that happens, well, we run into difficulties that would otherwise be avoided. And that was seen in the life of the children of Israel. You see, when that nation, when they earnestly sought the Lord and walked in His ways, well, they were blessed and they prospered. For instance, during the reign of King Asa, he implored Judah to seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 4, I think it is. But there he implores the people to seek the Lord. And all of that entailed, not just prayer, but again listening to God's prophets. Again, giving attendance to the means of grace that God had given, the Urim and the Thummim and the law of God, all those things, to seek the Lord again. And when God's people did that, and yes, Asa carried out a reform, he purged the land of idols, God blessed that nation. In contrast, when the Israelites, they didn't seek the Lord, when they turned from listening to God's true prophets, and they weren't interested in consulting the Lord and knowing His will and knowing His way and turning from their own wicked ways, and they sought their own false prophets, they sought their own, out their own inventions. When they did that, what happened? They were carried away into captivity. Babylon came. Their temple was destroyed when they didn't seek the Lord. We heard the other Thursday night from Dr. McKnight that men what? Men ought always to pray. And what will that do? That would counteract our fainting. Because by prayer, faith is increased. By and through prayer, graces are given. We are to pray without ceasing. We are to continue in prayer. This is to be our habitual disposition. Always depending, always relying upon the Lord, always seeking His face. We are to ever to keep the Lord before our minds. Isn't that what David said in Psalm 16? The verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand, therefore I shall not be moved. But you know the time he didn't set the Lord before his mind? And he wasn't seeking the Lord, but he was seeking his own sinful gratification of the flesh. That's when he ran into difficulties, when he didn't seek the Lord. That's when trouble was brought to him and his household, when he left off for that moment seeking his God, or being consciously aware that he's in the presence and before the face of his God. This command to continually seek the Lord, it must mean that He is always there when we call. And that His ear is always open unto our cry. That He's always ready to impart to us what we need. If we are to continually seek Him, well, that means He is continually there for us. He is not, remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? He is not a false god that is away for a walk, that He's absent, that He's vacated His throne. No, if we are to continually seek Him, well, that means He is continually there. He is ready. He is waiting. There is ever a welcome for us at the throne of grace where we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. What are we to do? Seek the Lord. Seek His face. Why are we to do it? Because we are weak, and yet He is strong. And when are we to do it? Continually. And that's exactly what we're going to do in a few moments' time. We're going to seek the Lord and seek His face. Because we as a people, and you and I as individuals, we need grace from Him. We need His strength. We need His wisdom. We need His patience. We need our God's grace. And yet He has promised to give it to us. Let's bow in prayer. And let's look to the Lord before we sing a hymn of praise. Let's pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we come to Thee. We bow our heads, we bow our hearts, and we thank Thee, O God, for this wonderful verse encourages us, exhorts us to seek Thee, to seek Thy face, to look to Thee for strength in all our weakness. Lord, there's Thy children here, and maybe someone's come in, they're so weary, they're so downcast, and they're really feeling it tonight, Lord, to use an expression. Lord, I pray that You would give them strength, give them grace into their souls, enable them, help them, lift them up, encourage them. We pray that You would lead them on with Thyself. So, Lord, bless us even as we wait on Thy presence. We ask all this in the Savior's precious name. Amen.